the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the FL 72. We're back for another week and, well, this week's slightly different because we're not talking about Huddersfield Town being great. Sorry, Andy Lawson. A 5-0 defeat. Yes, 5 to Fulham at the weekend. We'll look back at all the results from our Yorkshire sides at the weekend, as we normally do. We'll get an update from the managerial positions that are available at the moment at Wolves and Wigan. We're going to speak to a Blackburn fan as well about their protests at the weekend at Ewood Park. We'll do the worst club merchandise as well. Tom's got a cracker from this that was been released by one of our Football League clubs this week. So we'll take a good look at that, and we want to know your worst bits of memorabilia from your side's club shop. We'll do good days, bad days as well, as we look ahead to the final games ahead of the international break. Who are the winners and losers from this section? We'll find out on the FL 72. Yes, hello and welcome to the FL 72, back for another week, Sam and Tom, who of course is the editor, oh, what a special title that is, of the 72.co.uk. All right, Tom?
Wow, yeah, fine, yeah, thanks good. For the intro,
yeah,
thanks
no,
for the good
no,
intro.
It's all right, don't worry about it. You can send us your thoughts this evening. Now, Tom's been tweeting away at the FBL 72, sorry, mm-hmm. and at Radio_Yorkshire as well. Because you've been tweeting out a little bit, before we crack into to Yorkshire news, as we always do to kick off the show, we've got something coming up later on. But you want to know worst club merchandise, in case anyone that's listening wants to get in touch.
Yeah, worst club merchandise. And I won't say what's kind of brought this on yet, but probably a bizarre bit of merchandise that I've seen today has kind of triggered this, in particularly now Halloween's been and gone. Now clubs are going to, just shops generally, are going to start trying to flog Christmas goods. This has kind of made me think, and people have been getting in touch with their worst club merchandise that they've seen, and some of them are actually quite interesting, especially from our local Yorkshire clubs.
Interesting. I like it. A bit of a tease from Tom Carnduff for this one. But let's move on and talk some actual football rather than stuff you find in your club shop, because we'll kick off with Yorkshire news. And, well, we've talked Huddersfield Town many times this season. They've kicked off the show quite a lot. In the majority, because they've been doing very well.
They've topped the league.
They've played some excellent football under David Wagner, but didn't go too well at the weekend. It was an absolute thrashing against Fulham.
Yeah.
5 goals to nil. What did you make of the performance and the result?
Well, obviously, naturally, you're going to be surprised. Fulham, of course, they're not the best team in the league, far from it. And Huddersfield, you'd expect, it's a place that they could go and get the 3 points. So, of course, very surprised that... Well, a bit surprised that, you know, they didn't get anything out of it. But to lose 5-0 for a team that has been playing great football, has been winning games, some of them quite comfortably, playing the best in the league as they have done so far, and getting the results, to then lose 5-0 to Fulham, it was a massive shock. And I think it's a bit of a wake-up call that, you know, while they've done well so far, there may be work still to do. But yeah, just in one word, surprised. Really, really surprised by it.
Yeah, well, what about Fulham? Because they're one of them sides, we talked about them before, that they've shown promise this season. They've put in some fantastic performances for the first game of the season.
Yeah.
Springs to mind, obviously, beating Newcastle. But more than that, some weeks they turn up and they're a great footballing team. Other times they're just done and are pretty terrible. They're either one thing or the other.
Yeah.
But again, showing that within there is a good team that's coming through.
Yeah, definitely. I think they've always had the players there. That's been the thing with Fulham ever since they've come down from the Premier League, really. But it's like you said, like that first game against Newcastle, you're watching them and you're going, wow, if we're going on early impressions, then Fulham could win the league. Yeah, they were fantastic. They really matched their opponents. They were... It's kind of like they rise to the top teams when they come to play them. like, you know, your Huddersfields, your Newcastles, and they beat them. But I just don't quite understand how you can be so inconsistent. And I know there's teams, you know, who do go through inconsistent form where they'll get a win, maybe get a loss. But to go from being beat by teams quite comfortably, as they have done at times, to winning games 5-0, it's just, again, much like Huddersfield losing 5-0, I think it's an equal surprise that Fulham went and won a game 5-0.
Yeah, we talked about on the Yorkshire Football Show on TV Yorkshire yesterday as well, and Tom made the point about some of the players at the weekend. Aluko looked a different player to what he had certainly last season, and at the moment Hull could do with that kind of player, but Fulham seem to have done quite a bit of decent business picking people up on frees along the way.
Yeah, definitely. I think with McCormack as well, he was quite a key player for them. I think McCormack, much like he was at Leeds, he kind of had that role at Fulham, especially first time round, when I think without him they probably would have been in relegation trouble. To find a replacement, maybe, I think, you know, like Aluko, who I think, as he's shown at the weekend, he's got it in the locker, and for the price tag for nothing, you know, it's a very good deal. That they're in, you know, weekends like, and games like the weekend just gone, I should say, rather, when he produces, it shows that, you know, it is worth kind of, not necessarily taking a risk, but in kind of, I think, where the league's following a pattern of spending a lot on strikers, well, they've kind of gone the other way and found someone who could well do a job, because I think he's towards the top end of the scoring charts anyway, last time I looked. So, you know, he's shown that he can do it. And for Fulham, you know, I'm sure they're going to be hoping for a bit more consistency in that term.
And obviously the next international break is pretty much upon us after the weekend. So vital for Huddersfield to get back to a positive result. Maybe not a win, but they'll want to get the 3 points. But important not to get beat against Birmingham at the weekend, who, as we know, again, on their day, are an excellent side.
Yeah, they are. And then, you know, I think they showed it against Villa in that second city derby, as it's called, where they were behind for large parts of the game and they managed to get something out of it. The league table doesn't really lie at this stage. Birmingham are where they are because they are a good footballing side. They've got some good players as well, despite losing the likes of Damari Gray last season. And they can get results. And like you said, I think Huddersfield just have to be careful that they don't, you know, think, well, we're up here for a reason, we can get the results, because, you know, they've shown that it can go wrong. But then I think, I've always thought it's kind of the worst time to play a team after they've been beaten heavily, because they will be coming out to look for a result, and you would back them. I think this was definitely a blip, and you would back them to get the 3 points.
Go on then, let's move on to Leeds. I know you're dying to. Going very well at the moment, Gary Monk's side. Up to ninth in the table, a point off the top six, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham in front of them in seventh and eighth. What's changed? Is it just Gary Monk, that the job he's doing? It seems everything's coming together very nicely for him.
I don't think anything's changed. I just think he's had a bit of time to work what he wants to do. You know, you can't really... There's a very small number of managers who are very experienced, who can come in and instantly get results. But the large part of it is you need to give a head coach and manager time, and Gary Monk's been given that time now, where we're in November. He's had the first few games to kind of get it going, and now it's kind of paying off. Not just in the league, but cup quarterfinals as well. That's always great whenever you can get as far as you can in the cup. I think the Leeds are the lowest ranked team left. I think it's just us and Newcastle, the only two Football League sides left in it. So, but yeah, I think it's not a case of anything's changed. I just think it's been given a bit of time to implement what Leeds wanted to do and get it going.
Yeah, it's coming together well, and people, when they're given their opportunity, are now taking it.
Yeah.
Chris Wood's been scoring again, and Saul Dakara coming off the bench and taking his opportunity with that goal. How was he not caught by a defender?
Running through
one-on-one from the halfway line.
I think that goal was in three moves. It was first the defending from Leeds, that Leeds is defensively a kind of a bit shaky in the past few years. But to see that, to see players throwing themselves in front of shots to make sure that Burton couldn't get the equaliser, to then obviously the second bit for me was Chris Wood, and the fact that he's a goal scorer, but he had the awareness of where Takara was to find him with the pass. And yeah, I don't know, it's a case of maybe not anyone catching him, but how that ball went into the net the way it did, because it wasn't a pretty goal. They all count, but I think from a defensive aspect for Burton, they might be looking at that going, well, we could have probably prevented it, but I think either way, Leeds would have got the win.
Mm. So Leeds going well. Let's hear from the manager now. Here is Gary Mogg speaking to Mark Wilson after that win against Burton at the weekend.
Gary, good teams find a way to win.
Look, we wasn't our best performance. The most important bit today was the result, trying to get the 3 points, which we did. But considering the week that we've had, if you look at the Wolverhampton game a week ago, midweek and today, if you look at all those performances as overall, you've seen everything from this group. All the different sides of football that you want from a group, you've seen it. So very hard to be critical of them today, albeit it wasn't our best performance. But we're playing against a good side as well, that are in a good way, have a good form as well, come here very determined, which we warned the players about. But we got through it, and we knew that we were going to get chances. It was just in the moments with those chances, we were very clinical. You know, we were very accurate in those moments where other bits of our play probably wasn't as accurate as normal. But the most important bit, a clean sheet, again, where we had to defend very well. And then obviously when we had our chances, we took them, and we ended up getting the right result, which was, considering the week, like I say, very pleasing.
A moment of class from Hernandez, really, the pass to Dakara created the opening, didn't it?
It was a brilliant pass. It was a brilliant. Like I said, we probably weren't as crisp with the ball today, or we weren't as best with the ball today in our performance as we have been in midweek and last Saturday. But what's pleasing for me is we saw a great mentality again, you know, from the group. Real strong mentality, and we dug in when we had to dig in. We had to compete. Very physical game again. And then in those moments, we showed class. You know, we showed a real class and accuracy, which is important. And I'm very pleased to get the goals. And not only that, even at 1-0, then to go and get the second. I keep saying that overall, I have to be pleased with the week. You know, parts of me wants to be critical of certain parts of the performance, but it's very difficult to be that after the week, everything that they've given me this week, which is everything.
You were keen midweek to focus everything on the team, but Solomon Dakara was outstanding on Tuesday, and he came off the bench it turned when he came into the game, didn't
it? Yeah, I felt... obviously, with substitutions, when you want them to come on, you want them to affect the game and bring a bit of spark. Obviously, we lacked spark with the ball today, I felt, for long periods of that game. But Sully did just that. You know, he brought that spark to the team, that energy. And he had his parts in both goals, which is massively important for the team. And that was a big contribution in terms of us winning that game. So, no, that's what you want your substitutions to do. And Sully definitely epitomised that, and as did the other lads coming on. So... But no, very pleased, and the group are working in a good way. They're all fighting to be in that team and fighting for each other as well. So that's the way the group is right now. We have to keep continuing that way and keep focused and ready for the next game.
It had the potential to be after the Lord Mayor's show today, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like you said, while the performance might not have been what you wanted, you've got the win that you needed.
Yeah, and there's always a sense of that. You know, I think I know from experience that when you experience emotional highs, especially after Tuesday, which emotionally with everything that went with it, the way that the crowd was, the way the game went, circumstances, it's very hard in that next game to really be at your maximum, because the whole group's affected. Even if you haven't played in that game, the whole group gets affected. But we did well. I thought our mentality was really strong today, and when we weren't at our best, we always, you know, another part which is a strong thing for this group to learn, which we talked about, was to have the mentality that you make sure you don't lose a game, you know, sometimes. And then when you're in a mentality like that, like today, where we made sure, okay, and then we're not at our best, but we're not going to lose this game for sure, is you're always going to create a chance or two. You know, it's important in those moments you can take it, and they're the small margins in this league. You have to get right, and today we got them right.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go. Small margins for Leeds, but getting things right at the moment. Gary Monk's side. Let's move on, Tom, and talk about Sheffield Wednesday, because they lost to Derby. at the weekend. Derby, of course, playing better now under Steve McLaren, but Sheffield Wednesday had a good go at them at the weekend.
Yeah.
A key decision in the first half with that handball that wasn't given angered Carlos Carvajal immensely. Do you think it should have been given, or is that a stupid question?
I think it's a pretty stupid question, but you can understand why Carvajal's kind of reaction came about. It's quite, I think, regardless of league position, and you take form out the window, they're kind of two evenly matched sides in terms of the playing squads they have, so you can see and understand why, with the way the result went as well in the end. And, you know, I think for Wednesday, I think I saw the other day that it's one of those, you know, teams where it's a bogey team, and Wednesday haven't won at Derby in quite a long time, and that carries on. And I think just with the way Derby are going, I know, is it fair to say new manager still? I think he's had a couple of weeks to settle into it. But I think it was a game where they really could have at least got something out of it. And carried on, because they have been in an upward trend really since the start of the season when they had that bit of a blip. But I think, you know, it's easy to kind of draw on refereeing decisions and kind of the potential impact it had. Mm. But I think it really could have been a game where they could have got something.
Yeah, does that show the pressure that the Carlos Carvajal's under this season? Obviously, it's second season syndrome and all that kind of stuff, but it does seem like there is a bit of a hangover with Sheffield Wednesday. It just doesn't seem as happy a camp as last season, and it seems to have a lot of players that he's trying to make happy.
I think it's kind of, because it all happened so quickly for Sheffield Wednesday in terms of where they were in the league, and then the takeover came around, new manager in Carvajal came in. They spent a lot of money bringing players into the club, and to get to the playoff final. And I think they didn't really turn up, and they didn't play as well as they knew they could have at Wembley. So I think it's always going to be tough to kind of follow that on, because the expectations for the fans, for kind of the city as well, and just generally across the Football League in Sheffield Wednesday, those expectations have quickly kind of gone up. So I think it's always going to be kind of tough to follow, and you know, you're expecting at least playoffs again minimal, but you know, with the squad they've got and the depth they've got in that squad, you'd also kind of be looking at pushing for top two. So it's going to be difficult, but you know, it's still a long way to go, and they can still kind of push up the table.
And for Derby, as you mentioned, it's been a few weeks now Steve McLaren's been in there.
Yeah.
They've not always had the right result, but it does seem like performances have improved. And looking at it, they're on 17 points at the minute, 19th position. Bristol City have 24 points, sitting in the playoff spots in sixth place. At this stage of the season, where everyone's still quite bunched, it's not insurmountable. They could be back in the mix by Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, it's easily achievable. They've still got that squad there. And you said, you know, it's got better. I don't think it really could get any worse if you're a Derby fan and from the Derby perspective. So, yeah, I think it's difficult to say, really, especially with, like you said, how bunched the league is, how well teams are doing. You know, you wouldn't have expected. I know we said that Huddersfield are going to be up there, but a large majority of people wouldn't have expected Huddersfield to kind of be where they are now. And that's kind of messed around with it a bit in terms of Bristol City. Birmingham are up there as well. So, you know, I think with the squad they've got, I'd have a bit of faith in them to push up the table. But I think you want a good early start to kind of put yourself in real contention, because, you know, we're what, 1st of November now. You don't want to get to Christmas and still be playing catch up. But, you know, I think they have got a chance, but they kind of need to get up there as soon as possible.
With the likes of Derby improving, Wolves have improved as well, Aston Villa have seen some marginal improvements as well. How much harder does it make it for the likes of Rotherham down at the bottom, who've got their new manager in? He's been luckless so far.
Yeah.
Harsh at the weekend, been in a winning position, and then a 94th minute super strike from McGoldrick against Ipswich.
Yeah.
Looking at the teams around them, you've still got Cardiff, Forest, Derby, all outside the relegation places. you can only see some of these sides just getting better now, the likes of Derby.
Yeah, definitely. If, you know, I think if Derby is still where they are at the end of the season, it'll be a massive shock to everyone. I think Rotherham, they knew, they must have known it was going to be tough coming into the Championship with a Championship that's probably been the toughest that it has been, with the likes of Newcastle coming back, Norwich, who are always going to be strong, and then of course you add in the Sheffield Wednesdays, etc., who are going to be up there. So yeah, I think Alan Stubbs maybe was in a position where he probably shouldn't have really got the job in the first place, especially as someone like Kenny Jackett was available in the summer. I can't see him staying in this season. I think maybe like a Wigan, you know, there's still a long way to go for them. But I think at the time, like Wolves were a couple of seasons actually ago, they're probably a better example of getting relegated, going down into League One to build and come back stronger. And I think kind of Rotherham may need to explore that route instead of just trying to do everything they can to stay in the league like they have done for the past two seasons. And, you know, it's not been overly convincing at times.
Before we're going to hear from Steve McLaren in a couple of moments' time. But before we do, just continue on the same kind of theme. Barnsley sit 12th at the moment. They've recovered slightly from a bad run that beat Brentford last week, 2-2 draw against Bristol City at the weekend. You mentioned Rotherham and how difficult it is. For Barnsley, though, they've recruited very well. Can you see them being dragged into it, or do you think they'll continue in this kind of curve for the season, losing a few, winning a few, and be okay?
I think they'll follow that pattern. But for Barnsley, that, you know, they take that, especially when kind of you look at how they were before in the Championship. I think maybe that's, you know, similar to Rotherham, where they're kind of battling just to stay in the league. They've come down, come back up much stronger, and largely, you know, down to Heckingbottom, the squad they've got, etc. And then you add in that kind of second half of the season form that they found themselves in, where they just kept winning. They were pretty much looking like relegated from League One at one point, and then they turned it round, went on that crazy run, won the JPT, went to Wembley twice, won on both occasions, and that's kind of helped out. But for Barnsley, I think they're much different. I think the squad they've got is much stronger than the one Rotherham have, and I think they'll kind of follow the pattern of win-lose in that aspect, finish around where they are now. But, you know, you take that all day long in your first season back in the Championship.
Indeed. Let's hear from the winning manager at that game of the weekend. Then here's Derby's Steve McLaren speaking to Radio Yorkshire's Naz Premji.
That is a very hard-earned 3 points, isn't it, against a good side?
Very good team. Starting off, you can see they'd won games and got confidence, and we rode our luck. Scott Carson made a fantastic save, a couple of blocks, and Keezy made a great save as well, what it looked like. And it kept us in the game. We were fortunate, but we grew into it, played football, created chances, and got the first goal, settled down, and then, you know, give a great, gritty, disciplined performance.
Very similar to last week. You were gritty, you were determined. You didn't get the luck last week, you've had the luck, and would you say you scored the goals at the right time?
Absolutely. I've said, you know, we need to score first, and we need a second goal, and we did that. And after that, controlled the game through our discipline in terms of defensive organisation, and looked very dangerous on the break, and maybe should have scored more.
It's not been many goals here this season, but the two you've got, a couple of defenders, the first a really good header from Cyrus, and Alex has finished that like a cultured striker at the other end.
Yeah, we, you know, Kevin Phillips, he's working hard. He's been working hard this week. We've been looking at our set plays and trying to be more dangerous. And you know, if we're not scoring many in free play, then we need to set plays. And his work is, we got two goals from it.
Have we seen the sort of fruits of a full week without games for yourself and the squad? You've had a full week with them. You've got the drills, and maybe that's kind of been affected on the pitch today.
A little bit. I think the key thing was, you know, we've been playing football, but in front of people. And as I say, it's been a good week for the players. It's been great for me with the staff, because, you know, Zuby with the goalkeeper, Scotty Carson, excellent again. Chrissy with the fullbacks, really good from Cyrus Christie and Ollie in the back four. And Kevin worked a lot with the strikers in terms of, we're playing too much to feet, we need more penetration, put the balls in behind the back four, turn them a little bit more. And you could see that. Tom Ince, Johnny Russell and Benton did that very well. Caused Sheffield Wednesday problem, created us opportunities.
Bent had to wait for his chance, and I thought he did very well, didn't he? Getting the ball, holding it up and bringing those other players in.
Yeah, it's a difficult position. Number nine on your own, it's a difficult position. He's had experience of that. Matthew Vidra is unlucky. But, you know, he's the future for us. And just this game, Benty came and did a job.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
You have the power to set yourself free. We have put an end to line rental charges with our Vodafone Unlimited Fibre home broadband. Vodafone, power to you.
18-month agreement, subject to credit check, acceptance and availability. New and upgrading fibre broadband products only. Full terms at vodafone.co.uk/broadband.
When I opened my bakery, I spent more time filling in forms than filling sandwiches. I wanted to take the next step with my business and branch out into cakes, but I just couldn't find the time to learn. That was until I signed up for a Lloyds Bank Business Current account. It has loads of time-saving tools and features, so I can finally take a course. I bet I'll be sick of making donuts by the end of it. Or maybe not.
The Lloyds Bank Business Current account has time-saving tools and tips that can help your business. Lloyds Bank, for your next step.
I know what the plough looks like in the night sky. I know how Eskimos kiss. I know a time when a mullet wasn't a fish. And I definitely know this piece of music. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. In a few moments' time, we're going to be hearing from a Blackburn Rovers fan after their 1875 protests at the weekend, entering the stadium after 18 minutes and departing after 75. It meant many of them saw a 0-0 draw, Tom, because the goals happened before and after.
I suppose for a protest, that's quite perfectly timed to kind of make a point.
I suppose so. I wonder if many were watching, though, on the telly in between. not a real process. It was on telly. If you go and watch it on the concourse. But I'm sure our Blackburn fan would heavily disagree with me on that point. But it was a 1-1 draw against Wolves for Blackburn at the weekend. A fairly decent result, really, given their position down the bottom of the Championship. And after the game, well, a furious Owen Coyle.
Furious.
And we love a bit of Owen Coyle on this show. So let's hear from him. He's an angry Owen after that draw against Wolves at the weekend.
The ultimate frustration is not getting, obviously, the 3 points because, again, we've been punished by an incorrect decision. The boy's clearly offside. He must be 2 yards offside when he crosses the ball back into the middle. And it happened to us in the Sheffield Wednesday game when we actually scored a perfectly good goal and that was given offside against us. So, you know, people talk about the bounce of the ball and a bit of luck. That's not luck. That's just a clear decision getting it right. So, of course, that's hugely frustrating because we put so much into the game tonight. And even then at 1-1, we picked ourselves up again and we go and try and get that winner. And so, of course, I'm frustrated because I felt we certainly did enough to win the game tonight.
Yeah, they say that these things even themselves out over the course of the season. But it doesn't feel that way at the moment.
Well, they don't even themselves out because that's a total myth. I've been in the game since I was 13 years of age at Dumbarton as a schoolboy, and I can assure you they don't even themselves out over seasons. That's absolute rubbish because if that was the case, we must be due about 6 or 7 decisions coming our way shortly, and it doesn't happen. So when all said and done, I mean, I look at both of those games, and that's probably 4 points that we should have had from those two games, Sheffield Wednesday home today, and it's decisions, both linesmen's, assistant referees, whatever their terminology is now, but that's what's cost us in both games.
Is there a point where you can pick the phone up to somebody and say, why does this keep happening to us?
I've got to say, I speak to David Allison, and you know, we already got a phone call after Sheffield Wednesday to say, oh, just to let you know, that was a perfectly good goal. Well, that's great, but we didn't get any points on the back of it, and that'll happen tonight. You know, look at that and say, yeah, the assistant referee got it wrong, and but You know, we don't get points added to where we should be. But what I do know is, you know, we're doing a lot of things right. There's, of course, one or two things we need to get a little bit better at. But that being said as well, I mean, the injuries we've had and everything else, I thought the players worked their socks off tonight. I thought they were a credit to themselves and the club. And as we used to say, we keep giving those level of performances. The wins are there. I mean, that should have been a win tonight, and it's been taken away from us from a terrible decision.
From Wednesday to United, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
So there we go, an angry Owen Coyle after that draw against Wolves at Ewood Park at the weekend. But the fans, not just happy with playing performances, but also the state of the club off the pitch, the way it's being run by the absent owners, the Venkies. And, well, protested at the weekend, the 1875 protest. Fans arriving after 18 minutes, leaving after 75. A nice visual display for the Sky cameras. Anton, we can be joined by a Blackburn fan now because Tom Allen joins us on the line. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good. So tell us about this protest at the weekend then. As a Blackburn Rovers fan, was it successful in your eyes in terms of the amount of people doing it?
Yeah, I think firstly, if you look at it, it achieved what the fans wanted it to achieve. So it was planned for the pictures mostly, like in front of the Sky TV cameras, to get those images out there of the fans protesting against the Venkies. And I think we had about 2,500 people involved, which is good. A big percentage of the people who were at the game actually took part in the protest. But I think in regards to that, yeah, it was successful.
In terms of the way that the club is being run, just let everybody know just how bad it's got from your point of view. Because obviously we hear bits, but actually being a Blackburn fan and living it and breathing it, just how bad is it at the moment?
Yeah, I think the simplest way to look at it is that it's coming up to 6 years ago now. There's going to be another protest at the Brentford game on the 19th of November, I think, to mark 6 years since the Venkies took over. And when they took over the previous season, we'd finished comfortably in mid-table. We were in debt. We were £26 million in debt, which is manageable for a football team. And we were on the up, really. We had Sam Allardyce as manager, and fans were optimistic, positive, looking to the future. And then the Venkies came in, they've took over, they've sacked Sam Allardyce straight away. Very unpopular decision with the fans. But 2 years later, not even 2 years later, relegated to the Championship. We're now, the most recent estimate put us at £104.2 million in debt. And the fans just, with this process, just thought that something needs to be done. I think the last time our owners came over to visit the club was 2 years ago. The board have recently cut ties with the fans. The fans could previously talk to the board. There was a communication link there, but that's recently gone. And the fans just needed to do something, really.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of a lot of fans. I mean, I worked in Blackburn at the time when the Venkies took over, and I've seen obviously what's happened since. And I know quite a few Blackburn fans, some of them diehard fans, who this year, for the first year in their lives, some of them have just given up, just don't know which way to go. Do you know people in a similar situation?
Yeah.
What's the rest of kind of the fans that you know, what they're thinking?
It's that every game that I attend, half time, every game, everyone comes in, and all you can hear people say and are talking about their friends who they've been to Rovers for 30, 40, sometimes even longer than that, 50, 60 years with, and they're just not coming anymore. They've finally decided that enough's enough. They're not going to spend their hard-earned money on a season ticket anymore, because they're completely against the way the club's being run. And I think we obviously had the protest with about 2,500 people on Saturday, but in a way we've got to protest every game, because we've got somewhere around 8,000 fans who just don't come to the games anymore. who want to be there and support the team. They still support the players, but they do not support the owners, and they don't want to spend their money coming to the games because they're completely against the owners.
And then, well, we've been speaking about kind of off the pitch. On the pitch, it's not going much better for Blackburn either. Kind of, what do you make of it, and where you think Blackburn are going to go this season?
I think, first of all, I'm not really surprised by the position we're in this season at all. I don't think many fans are. We had Paul Lambert come in last season, and supposedly he was told that he'd get some money to spend in the summer, and that didn't happen. And he's walked away completely frustrated, apparently, with the owners. And we've brought Owen Coyle in. I personally don't blame Owen Coyle for the position we're in at the moment. I think some fans disagree on that, but if you look at the team we've got, and money is being put into the club, but that's to plug the debt. We're like constantly losing money, and the money's not going to the team. This season, I think the best we can hope for is to stay up. But I know a lot of fans who think that we're going to get relegated to League One this season.
And to be relegated with the Venkies still there, I mean, you can look at some parallels with Bolton last season, and they ended up obviously under new ownership now rebuilding in League One. But to go down with them still owning the club, you could only fear for what would happen to Blackburn then, because there's no investment now. There's certainly probably won't be any to get you back out of League One.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of fans talk about getting relegated to League One, and I'm hearing a lot of fans say that it might be a blessing in disguise, saying that if we do go down, the Venkies might finally walk away from the club. But if we get relegated to League One, it's a completely different story, I think. I think it's going to take maybe even more than that for them to walk away, because I don't think they want to admit that they've made a mistake buying the club, and selling the club would be admitting that mistake. Yeah.
So in terms of a sport, do you feel at a point where, like others, that you want to give up, you're ready to give up? Or I know you're at university at the moment, so it's kind of in and out when you get there, but would there be a point where you think you might just think I can't do it anymore?
I don't think I'm ever going to stop supporting the team, as in the players on the pitch. I think, like most fans, they've always got our support, but when it comes to the owners, I mean, I don't have a season ticket anymore. I'm at university, so that's part of the reason, but I've stopped spending my money on the games because we just don't agree with the way the club's being run, and the way the fans are being treated at the moment. We're just not getting any kind of communication line from the club at all. Things are being said and the opposite is being done. And the fans aren't being treated the way fans should be treated by the owners.
Yeah, a horrible situation for Blackburn fans. Tom, thank you very much for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you. Cheers.
There we go. That's Tom Allen, a Blackburn Rovers fan, talking all about those protests and the way the club is being run at the moment by the Venkies. Not good at all, especially given Blackburn's league position, 23rd currently in the Championship. We'll take a quick break on the FL72 and we'll be back in a couple of moments' time to talk about, well, the managerial situation at Wolves and Wigan.
Oh, hello, love. Thanks for phoning.
Again?
But I've heard about your exams, your holiday, your girlfriends and liked your photos. Me and your dad thought maybe you might like to. Leave us alone for a bit.
Get more chat than even your mum can handle with Talk Mobile's great SIM-only deal. 2,500 minutes, 5,000 texts, 15 gig of data. All for only £15 a month on a 30-day contract. For straightforward value, go to talkmobile.co.uk.
Offer ends 31st of October, UK use. Calls to standard UK mobiles and landlines. Credit check applies. Go to talkmobile.co.uk.
Well, it's me, Danny Parkinson, from the Daytimes, helping you get you through your workday from 11 till 2 p.m. every weekday. We've got some of the best journals, the best sports people and best tunes around. But sometimes we just can't get the words out.
Of course, we're received positively. That's the latest more line at radioyorkshire.co.uk. You had to laugh, didn't you, Daddy?
Radio Yorkshire weather.
Oh, it's drying and it's a little cooler. Forget it. So join me every day from 11 till 2 for the best sports chat and the greatest tunes around.
Daytimes with Danny on Radio Yorkshire. Monday to Friday from 11. From Wednesday to United. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Yep, Danny back tomorrow after a couple of days off. Make sure you join him on Daytimes from 11. Thanks to Tom, the Blackburn fan there, talking about the protests. We shall move on and talk about managerial matters now, Tom. Wolves and Wigan still in the search for their new managers. And we'll kick off with Wolves and Paul Lambert.
Paul Lambert.
Current favourite, the former Blackburn boss.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... I wouldn't say surprise, but in terms of the names that were being touted when the job first came available, there are a couple of managers who are working in Portugal currently, and then Sam Allardyce, of course, was kind of heavily linked with the job as well. And you're thinking, well, what a pickup that could be for Wolves. And in all honesty, it's kind of not one that could be too unrealistic for him with the financial kind of advantages they've got at the moment, the fact that they are quite a big club as well, there could be that appeal. It's a bit of a surprise to see those drifting out, and kind of Paul Lambert, I think, is on the opposite end of the scale to a Walter Zenger in terms of a domestic manager with experience in this league who, you know, has had a decent record, really. But is it going to be kind of the person that the fans want, especially with the names that have been linked? I'm not too sure.
I think Lambert obviously brings the experience. What happened at Blackburn, as Tom just been saying,
exactly.
A bit of a one-off. I was quite surprised, though, that Paul Lambert went into Blackburn and he expected all this money, but it seemed quite obvious that there was a lot of debt and things weren't good at the club. And then he seemed to go there and then realise that afterwards, and maybe didn't do his due diligence ahead of that one. But could this be a sign that the Wolves owners have brought in Walter Zenger and thought we made a mistake there with a foreign manager who doesn't have any experience of the Championship? They've realised what you need is an experienced guy, maybe a British coach, just because the likes of Lambert, Nigel Pearson, Dougie Friedman, all those at the top of the betting, Tim Sherwood even.
Tactics, you know,
all
Tim.
Have experience, whether it's good experience or not, but all have experience in the division.
Yeah, definitely. I think it came out, reports kind of came out today suggesting that Sherwood wasn't being considered for the job. And they're about to do the second round of interviews, I think. But that shows that there is clearly an interest in a manager with domestic experience in this league. And, you know, I think that experience can go a long way. They've kind of took the risk with Walter Zenger, didn't work out. So maybe looking at this end, looking at this side of the scale would probably, if anything's going to work out for him, I think it's going to be best if they have a manager like a Paul Lambert, like a Nigel Pearson, who could well do a job for him.
Yeah, and then at Wigan, Warren Joyce, now the heavy odds-on favourite to take that job. Ryan Giggs, second favourite. So they're going for a Manchester United contingent, maybe. But Warren Joyce, who's done a good job at Manchester United in the reserve team.
Been there for quite a while, I think.
Yeah.
Been there for the past 6-7 years odd. So.
Yeah, highly rated coach. Former Burnley midfielder, of course, on his CV. But... yeah, he comes with a good pedigree, but is it a bit of a risk that they've already gone for one inexperienced guy with Gary Caldwell, who got the best out of the players last season, going for another guy who's not really managed first team level before?
Yeah, I think it'd be a bit kind of hypocritical in terms of if they do go for an inexperienced person. They got rid of Caldwell, who you presume was because he was inexperienced. I don't quite know what they could really expect at this point. They're not going to be challenging at the top end of the league, but they're far from, you know, in danger, in trouble at the other end of the league. You know, it might be a bit of a scramble at times, but it's not like they were going to be top of the league. They're not going to be, you know, promotion places. But, you know, if they are going to go for Warren Joyce, he's got plenty of coaching experience. Like you said, you know, he's been at Man United. He's been there for quite a while as well. You're not at a club like Man United for a while in a managerial position at kind of any level if you've not cut out to do the job and if you're not good enough to do the job. So, yeah, it could work, and it could be, you know, could be someone who kind of thrives in the first team environment, and he could well... It's difficult to say because you're not quite sure where Wigan want to be if they're sacking managers who, you know, they're not really in relegation trouble. But, you know, it seems clear that he's the favourite for it, and he's going to get the job looking at the betting anyway.
Ryan Giggs, do you think he will take a job in the Football League, or do you think he's going to hold out and wait it out for the Premier League? He's been with MK Dons as well. Yeah. He's around 10-1 for that job. But can you see him dropping down as he probably should do, really?
I think he should, yeah. It's a bit of a risk just saying, well, I've been the assistant manager, whatever, coach at Man United, so I should get, you know, automatically get a Premier League job. I think, you know, you've kind of, it's different first team football and first team managerial pressures are different. So I think dropping down to the Football League, especially like a Wigan who there's not much expectation on him, you know, you're going to think, well, they could be that end of the table for most of it. That's a lot of people's expectations of them anyway. So there's not going to be massive pressure there. So I think somewhere like that would be better for him than opposed to a Premier League team who, like a Sunderland, who are in trouble anyway. They look like they are going to go down even at this early stage. So you're not really got much to work with there. Whereas a Football League team with little pressure on him might work out quite well, especially with his experience.
Yeah, we'll see on that. Paul Mitchell, the below evens favourite to secure the permanent job at the MK Dons. Elsewhere, Nottingham Forest reported takeover there. Long been coming, really, for Forest. And it seems like things do need freshening up there.
Yeah, apparently this takeover could take just 3 weeks as well. £50 million, I think it's reported to be, which is quite a lot of money. Even in football nowadays, it's quite a lot to buy a club. I think it's a USA or American consortium are coming in to take it over. But yeah, 3 weeks shows how quickly it can be done and how eager they probably are to take control. I suppose, take what, to the end of November, you've got 1 month then to sort things out, and then you're into a transfer window where you're presuming with a takeover there's going to be money thrown at the team to kind of push them up the table. But, you know, they're a club with lots of potential. Nottingham Forest, they've got the history, they've got the fan base, so you can understand why they're kind of a target for a consortium to buy.
Indeed, we should watch the space on that one potential Nottingham Forest takeover. Next, it's time for Tom to do the big reveal. What is the worst bit of memorabilia we are seeing in our Football League club shops, with one very special one in particular? We shall reveal all next.
Join me, Darren Harper, for The Breakfast Show. Good morning, Yorkshire, every weekday morning from 6.30 here on Radio Yorkshire, where, of course, this week, it's all been about one massive sporting exclusive, and we had it here first on Radio Yorkshire. Freddie Flintoff wanted Yorkshire to win. First of all, how gutted were you that Yorkshire missed out on the county championship?
Do you know what? This is progress, I suppose, but I was hoping they would win it.
Really?
Genuinely, what Jason Gillespie's done there with the Yorkshire lads should be replicated by everyone, and I was gutted that they couldn't quite do it.
I know. Shocking, I know, shocking!
Good morning, Yorkshire. Going at 88 miles per hour all the time. That's the power of love. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Yes, Sam and Tom with you for another 10 minutes here on the FL 72. After 7, we're going to be talking boxing. Paul Silky Jones joins me to talk all about the big news stories in the world of boxing and some big fights to look ahead to as well in November and December. Tom, talk to me about the worst club merchandise, and this was sparked. You sent me an email earlier on today with something pretty special on it.
Very special. This came to my attention today. And it's, you know, like Danny and Liam, you know, when they did their show, they had Everything Wrong with Modern Football, and this certainly crosses into that category. Mansfield Town are selling an official club mobility scooter. So it's in blue and yellow, the colours of Mansfield Town, and markets at just £1,590. And it's in a sale. It gets better. It's got the club crest on it. What more? Just in time for Christmas as well. Just in time for Christmas.
Nothing. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with it?
What's right with it? Why? That's a lot of money anyway.
Well,
but for...
it's not like you're just not going to go and buy one. If you were a Mansfield fan, you're not going to. If you don't need a mobility scooter, you're not just going to go and buy one.
Oh, why not? I'll go get one.
So it's a good way to spend a student loan, Tom. But if you're in need of a mobility scooter, why not?
The thing that gets me is what they obviously must sit down as marketing, commercial, whatever. Sit down if you're a part of that department and go right. We need to come up with some merchandise for Christmas, sell through this season. Who goes? I know. Excuse me, Mr. Mansfield, commercial director. What about a mobility scooter? And we'll make it club colours and put the club crest on it. No.
Maybe
just not
been a
right.
request, though. What if the club had been inundated with at least three emails?
Three emails?
To say...
It's a lot
what
of Mansfield.
About, but I can't imagine... I don't know how many people around Mansfield are driving mobility scooters around, but...
Not looked into it.
I think three would be a good number to ask for and for the club to act on. But it looks perfectly fine to me.
Nah, it's just why? What happened to going into your club shop to buy a shirt, to buy, you know...
You still buy a shirt. It's not replaced the shirt.
Yeah, no, but why, like... You know, when, like, you're in the club shop, like, for me, when I go to the Leeds club shop, if I saw a mobility scooter in the corner...
You'd be tempted, wouldn't you? You'd be tempted.
No.
I can see it in your eyes.
I'd ask questions.
What's the worst bit in the Leeds club shop?
Well, I've looked this up. We had people tweet in some, and we asked for people to tweet in suggestions. This is a mixture of one I found was Leeds United key cover. Why?
Key cover?
You know, where you can stick it on your key? So your key turns from plain silver key that gets into my apartment. It can be a Leeds United one. Why? Who knows? So they sell that. Someone else also tweeted us in with the Leeds United ice scraper for your car windscreen. Because, you know, a standard car windscraper just won't do the job. So you need a Leeds United themed one at just £4 as well.
£4?
£4 for an ice scraper that has just the Leeds logo. It's tiny. It's a blue ice scraper with the Leeds logo very small at the end. Just why?
That's a bigger rip-off than the mobility scooter.
I know. Yeah, that's a Twitter poll for next week. What is worse value?
Anything else?
Anything else? Well, a couple of others going around the Yorkshire club, really. This seems a common theme amongst a lot of the Yorkshire clubs, but I've highlighted Sheffield Wednesday because they're doing it, so they deserve calling out for it. Confectionery, pear drops, more specifically. So, you know, when you're buying a gift, it's not enough to buy pear drops. If they're a Sheffield Wednesday fan, they need to be
in
it. They're in a glass jar with a nice blue little lid and a Sheffield Wednesday logo sticker on it with pear drops below it. I couldn't find the price for this, thankfully, because I would have gone just crazy about it. But for some reason, normal pear drops. If I was a Leeds fan and someone brought me pear drops for Christmas, I'd be outraged. But if there was a Leeds logo on it. Yep. Game changer. And then we go over to East Yorkshire for Hull City, who sell a pet bowl. Orange pet bowl with paws all over it. And then the Hull City logo on it. Just why? What is wrong with clubs nowadays? Why can't you just sell shirts and whatever they sold in the old days in club shops? Scarves. Yeah, like exactly. Stuff like that. Why do you need mobility scooters and pet bowls?
I don't know.
This is a campaign. This is a new campaign.
Genuinely angry. There's Wakefield, the rugby league club. They were selling official club dog leads.
Hull City also sell dog leads. That's it. Hull City and their pet-based things. We need Richard Shaw right here. He'd know it all. Club tat. He'd know it all.
Club tat. There we go. Thanks very much, Tom. Well, it sounds like Tom's having a bit of a bad day.
I'm fine, all right? I'm fine.
Yeah, so we should do this. He gets worried, but we always have time to squeeze this in. Always have time. We just make time, even if we miss the news. We'll forget about boxing.
More important this. More important.
It's all about good days, bad days. Tom, we are running out of time, so you haven't got much time to do this.
Quickly
but I shall explain it.
It
very quickly. It is who's had a good day from each division, who's had a bad day from the previous weekend. Tom, away you go for this week?
So we're starting the championship. Like I said, I'll rattle through it because we're quickly run out of time. Good day. We've mentioned them already. Fulham beating promotion hopefuls Huddersfield 5-0. And that links into the bad day for the other 5-0 result on Saturday in Norwich, getting beat by Brighton at the Amex. That was a 5-0 scoreline. Big surprise between two promotion hopeful teams dropping down into League One. Scunthorpe United, it's another good day for them as they stay top of the league, and they get a 4-1 win over Swindon. I believe they're 4-0 up at half-time there, so pretty convincing. Bad day, Shrewsbury Town, 1-1 draw with Southend. I know they've changed manager recently, but it means no win in 11 games for them. It's been a bit of a bad run. And into League Two, good day for Barnet, who came from 2-0 down on 67 minutes as well. 2-0 down to beat Hartlepool 3-2 at home. Great result, great day for them. Bad day for Accrington Stanley. In terms of a 3-1 home loss to bottom club Newport meant that they missed out on going into the playoff places. So that's the good days, bad days from across the Football League this week.
Excellent. Tom, thank you very much. Not just for good days, bad days, but for the last hour.
Oh,
always good
you.
To be in your company. That's it for the FL 72 this week. We're talking boxing next with Paul Silky Jones between 7 and 8. And the news at 7 o'clock comes next.